Check Your Productions in conjunction with Inspire Fitness Academy presents Fitness Stripped Bare, a show that, as in the title suggests, will try to strip bare the myths, rumours and gimmicks of the phenomenon that in itself has become a worldwide industry. Hi, welcome to our first episode of Fitness Stripped Bare. I'm your host, Ellis, and I'll be joined by fitness guru and my co-host for today and the rest of the episodes, John Briggs. We'll cover a range of topics and chat with a number of health and fitness professionals. And without further ado, let me introduce to you my co-host, John Briggs.
Thank you, Ellis. How are you going?
I am well. How are you doing today?
Good. Oh, mate, could not be better. I'm absolutely bursting at the seams for this. I've been waiting to do this for ages. And so I thought, well, okay, let's get on with it, eh? All right, so, well, a bit about me. I've been a personal trainer for 20 years on the Gold Coast. I've been a fitness fanatic all of my life, but let's stay in the last 20 years. So I've trained thousands of clients in 20 years and God knows how many sessions and lots of different types of people. With different conditions and different goals. And learning to train them for what they want is the most important thing. I've also set up a school called the Inspire Success Academy of Fitness. And what we do there is teach people how to become a personal trainer with certificate 3 and 4 in fitness.
I just got tired listening to all that. That was funny. With personal trainers, I know they struggle to have their own studios. Do you have your own, or do you have to outsource to a gym to run your classes?
No, I have my own, and I had my own for, like I said, 20 years.
So how'd you get into it? Now, what was your drive to actually want to take up this career?
Loved fitness all my life, mad sports fanatic and participator in lots of different sports. And knowing that fitness plays a massive part in winning things, for example, playing tennis matches, if my opponent was as good as me or better than me at shots, then if I wanted to take the match into a long match, then the fitter you are, the faster you are, the better recovery you've got might get you over the line. So I really wanted to be as fit as I possibly could. I also, at a really young age, I was obsessed with Muhammad Ali. He was my man.
The greatest.
Of course. And I just wanted to be just like him. And from about the age of 6.
Well, sport has actually changed a lot. So when I was a kid, I'm nearly 50 now. Now, watching rugby league players, for example, they are... Well, they used to have jobs. They'd go to work as bricklayer, maybe doctors, you name it. Then they go and play footy in the week. It's now, it's an industry. It is a worldwide thing that just, they get given doctors and nutritionists and all this kind of stuff. So how much does nutrition play a part in industry?
Massive, massive part. However, I will say that it's a complete load of crap how it's overdone and overcomplicated. It's such a simple thing. You eat properly, you eat right, you don't need to go on stupid fucking diets, and you just exercise more than you eat, then you're going to get your goals.
Well, I heard a saying years ago, and I think it was called energy input has to be less than energy output.
Correct. That's as simple as that.
So I have a friend whose daughter, she's Australian champion in gymnastics. Now, when it comes to her training and eating, right, what she eats is everything.
And that's exactly right, because she would be very, very fit competing at that level, yes?
Yes.
Yeah, so her metabolism, which is a word which means the rate of which fuel is burned off, her metabolism would be really, really high. So if you can imagine her body or anybody's body to be like a fireplace, and you, how do you start a fireplace? Well, you get rolled a piece of newspaper, you set fire to it, don't you? Yeah, okay. Then you put kindling on it, don't you? A different type of fuel might take a little bit longer to burn, but it sets fire. So when they get caught alight, you set bigger pieces of wood on top of that, and then maybe some coal or whatever. So you put better fuel on it, which takes longer to burn, and you end up with a big roaring fireplace. What happens, though, if you stop putting fuel on the fireplace?
Well, it goes out.
It goes out, and that's exactly what happens with people. It goes out, and then out, and then out. And then while I'm saying that, by the way, my hands are gesticulating with the size of people's fucking bellies. They go out.
You do realise this is a podcast, yes, and no one can actually see us. I know,
I can't help myself. So, yeah, it is energy in versus energy out. And if we, at my school, we talk about sports people as the best analogy to think about. So they don't try to look good. They just look good as a result of what they do. So they train damn hard, and then they eat according to their training, not the other way around.
It's sort of like Usain Bolt with his 140 nuggets.
Exactly right. Look, I mean, obviously he would eat lots of other stuff too, but he isn't the only one who eats anything.
Well, that's right. Well, takeaway food places are everywhere, and people are constantly getting bombarded. But it's an easy fix. So these athletes, are they getting their nutritionally valued food?
I believe they probably are. Look, I mean, most of them have a food dietitian with them, which is actually a 6 or 7 year degree. So going back to my fireplace analogy, when you are ridiculously fit, your body just burns off all fuel. It doesn't matter what it is. It's like pouring paraffin on the fire. It just goes whoosh. So you need to replace it. So there's different types of fuel. Just very quickly on that one. I know we'll cover this in more detail in future podcasts.
Like it.
But your main source of fuel for the body and your brain is carbohydrates. So that's your, that's what you need to give you the energy to think, to talk, to run around, to shit, to whatever you like. You need your carbs. So fat is also a pretty good source of fuel, but not as good as carbs. Protein is actually the worst source of fuel for the body. That role is different.
Oh, there's so many videos that are going around on the internet with protein, I could have protein, all these bodybuilders. So yeah. Obviously you've just said that's not a necessary thing for fitness.
To give you energy. So your body's made of about 50 trillion cells. And without getting too scientific, in those cells is something called a mitochondria. And the mitochondria creates something called ATP, which is adenosine triphosphate, which is actually known just as energy.
And not a tennis tour.
Exactly. That's right. Yeah. So to create that energy, you actually have to eat carbohydrates. And carbohydrates come in the form of many different types of foods. In a nutshell, well, it's not in a nutshell, but that's just a phrase. It's all sugar. So sugar is converted into glucose in the body, which travels through the system as something called glycogen, yep, which then goes into the cells in the body, and then that mitochondria, it creates ATP, adenosine triphosphate, which then gives us the energy to move around and do things which we can do.
You mentioned before Muhammad Ali, the greatest. Float like a butterfly, sting like a bee. Yes. Now, that must have been early John. So was that the trigger of you of getting into this industry? What got you into it?
Well, look, I mean, I was only good at sport at school, to be honest with you, apart from a couple of other subjects I could
do. Oh, that's like me. I'm the best couch sportsman ever.
Well, I played all sport all the time, and the obvious career choice was to become a PE teacher. And, you know, I did some work experience. I started the degree and didn't like the work experience in schools. So I packed it in, did a bit of travelling and all the rest of it, and moved to Australia not long after that. And when I moved to Australia, I thought, right, I'm going to do what I want to do, not what other people want me to do. And it's an outdoor place here, isn't it? Let's face it, it's sunny all year round and sport's brilliant. So,
well, you're definitely not the white Tommy
I am. I think I need some sunglasses looking at you.
Yeah, I'm shocking.
Shining back at me. So anyway, I met a personal trainer. I was selling fitness equipment and I knew I was in the right corridor, but the wrong room. And I met a personal trainer and it helped that she was absolutely shit hot.
Smoking.
She was. And anyway, so... So I went to her for a couple of sessions, fitness sessions, I mean, and she said to me, John, you would make a fantastic personal trainer. And I didn't really think of it until somebody else said it. And I went to a seminar, and I thought, right, this is it. I found my niche.
Nice.
Yeah, and it was, I knew straight away because I wanted to train sports people. And what actually happened was that in my first few clients, most of them had some weird sort of conditions like enlarged heart, cysts on the kidneys, osteoporosis.
You're training Farlap or something.
Something like that, yeah, that's right, yeah. And it became really fascinating, actually.
Oh, so that's where obviously, body science and all that kind of stuff comes into it. Because I know I've got a mutual friend whose partner is training to do a nutritional doctor. I don't know. It's like a 7-year thing at uni.
Yeah,
it's a
dietitian, probably.
I personally don't understand it. I just have a couple of burgers, maybe, and off. I'll go and kick the ball around.
Yeah. And for general population, that's all that's required. You don't need to have too much detail in nutrition to train somebody of a normal, everyday nature. A
few questions for you.
Yeah, go for it.
All right. What other jobs have you done?
Oh, my God. As a strippogram?
That's a whole new episode right there. Just hands down.
I was a tour guide in the Greek islands.
Nice.
Yes, that was fantastic.
That's a good one.
I've sold fitness equipment, like I said. Yeah. I was actually a radio presenter for a little while. Sports radio presenter.
Oh, shouldn't you be swapping seats or something and interview me about my musical career or something? But anyway, that's another story. Our producer Mitch's writing is terrible. So accent, obvious. So, here we go. So, you're a POM. How old were you when you came to Australia?
28.
You had to think about that.
I did, because I wasn't sure if it's 27. No, it's 28.
Were you sober enough?
No, definitely not.
Sounds like you're overqualified to come here. So, yeah, I was 5 when I came here, hence the accent. Right.
But we're both from the same cloth, aren't we?
I don't know. You're a lot more tandem.
You're an Arsenal supporter, though.
Well, yes. And
Leeds United.
Nice.
Yeah. So, anyway, after wanting to train sports people, I suddenly discovered by accident that I actually just wanted to really help people.
Yeah.
And that became the drive. You know, I thought, well, if I can train 50, 60, 70 people, then I'm making a difference.
50, 60 or 70
people? Yeah, a week. Yeah, that's what I used to train.
Wow.
And I set up my first business at home.
So hang on, before you get going, 50, 60 people, do you have to draw up individual programs for these people?
Yeah.
It's like everybody's different.
Yes, that's
so,
right.
You got my boy, no fat on him. This guy trains. Then you might get a woman who's just coming back from pregnancy.
Yep.
And so they're totally different. They have totally different requirements.
Yep.
So do you do food plans?
Yeah, absolutely. And look, I mean, you're 100% right with the comment of everybody's different. And that you can't do a generic program for anybody, and you can't do a nutritional generic plan for everybody because we all have different metabolisms. And it has to be in line with how fit you are and what your fitness goals are. People train for different things. And the most important question you have to ask any client is, what do you want to achieve? Because you can't guess that. You know, they've got to give you the answer.
Well, so talking about muscle and building up muscle and stuff. Now, you go into shops and they've got these protein powders and mass bulk and shredding powders. Do you need them?
I think it's a big load of fucking crap, to be honest with you. You can get everything you need from food. Simple as that. And the supplement industry is a massive multi-billion-dollar industry which preys on young lads and women now who want to believe they're going to put on massive muscle through protein powders. What they don't understand is what the role of protein actually is. Protein is not a good energy, but its role is to repair. And what it does, it repairs all tissue in your body. So it repairs your skin, your bone, your hair, your nails, and your muscles. That's what it does. It repairs. So, yeah, eat proper food. If you find that you're still not getting enough from food, even if you're eating a lot of protein, there may be a case then to eat a supplement or drink a supplement. But look at the word supplement. What does it mean? If you have another job to supplement your income, it's an extra. It's not a replacement. Yeah.
Okay. Now, I'm just looking at a table here, and I just noticed one of your business cards, which has got Trim Tums lean mums.
Yeah, lean mums, trim tums, and beer belly busters personal training. That was the first business 20 years ago.
Wow. Okay, so how'd that go?
It was great. I set it up in my carport. I thought of the name lying on a lilo in the pool. It just came to me. So I ran into the house, absolutely dripping wet, looking for a pen, looking for a towel, thinking, oh my God, I hope I don't forget this name, because I'd written down about 50 businesses' names, and they're all very boring and stereotype relating to fitness. But this, Lean Mums, Trim Tums, and Beer Belly Busters, I knew it was going to work, because it related to my target market. And I wanted to train mums, as well as sports people, mums who maybe have had a couple of babies and whatever, who wanted to get the body back. And Beer Belly Busters, well, that covered the male side of things as well. So it attracted two different markets in one business name. So it actually reduced the advertising costs and everything else, because the name said the people I wanted to get in my business. You know, when I told my wife this, everyone said, oh, it's too long a name. I said, no, I think it's cool, because it makes people laugh. And if you make people laugh, then it attracts them. And if it attracts them, that's the first part to your business. They want to come and see you, you know, without it being threatening.
So how did Fit Mums, Lean Mums, or Chip, sorry. Whoa.
It's close enough. Big Mums, whatever you want to call it.
Lean Mums. How'd that go? Was it a success?
It was huge. And within less than a year, I got to 70 clients a week on my own. I started to target training certain celebrities, which got me on the radio.
Nice.
And I trained a girl called Bianca Dye. She's the daughter of Izzy Dye.
Yes. She's on a radio station up in Brisbane, I thought.
Right, there you go. And I wanted to train her as a client. So I was actually at Shooters nightclub one night with a mate, and she was hosting a beauty competition. And I said to my mate, I'm gonna get her as a client. And he goes, yeah, right. He's bleeding Essex boy, Warner, you know, spoke like, yeah, mate, yeah, really, fella, you're going to get her, right? How are you going to do that? I said, well, I don't know yet. But in the taxi on the way home, I thought, brilliant idea. I'm going to email her. I'm going to say to her, and it went a bit like this. Hi, Bianca, I've just seen you in Shooters. I was disappointed. Nay, disgusted. You had more back fat than my 65-year-old dad. You had 7 chins. Your ass was lard. It was dragging on the fucking floor. How could you ever think you're going to get on television? Stay as a head for radio. Or there's help. John Briggs. Lean Mums, Trim Tums, Beer Belly Busters, personal training. I will train you for free. Now, the truth of the matter is, she was actually quite skinny and not too unattractive.
Yeah, I was going to say, I've seen Bianca Dye.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I actually woke my wife up at 2:30 in the morning to email, because I can't type.
Didn't send that email, did you?
I did.
Wow.
I did.
Okay.
She typed it. She says, I'm not sending it. I press the button. And I'm like, press the button. Shit, it's gone. It's gone now. And in the morning, there's a reply. I could see the little envelope, and I thought, fuck. I don't want to open this.
Nervous.
Yeah, I was. I was shitting myself. And anyway, answer, reply. I hate you. Do I really look like your 65-year-old dad with the back fat? Did I really have 7 chins? Was my ass really dragging on the floor? Can you help me, please? Will you? I thought, yes!
Strike.
I know. Nice. And as a result of that, I got on the radio quite a lot. And she introduced me to other people, like the Gold Coast Bulletin people, and I started to train some of them. And then I got my own fitness column.
Wow.
For the Gold Coast Bulletin, which was a regular thing. And from that, I met Larry Emder, who was a friend of Bianca.
Yeah.
And he lived in Main Beach at the time, so I did a similar thing with him and trained him. He then opened my first rental premises in Wurrungery. And what I did was I marketed it around him cutting the ribbon.
Well, he's a bit of a lean machine now. Yeah. He's doing on like Men's Health magazine.
That's
everything.
Right. Yes, exactly. Yeah. And this is 20 years ago, 19 years ago. And so what I did, I saturated the area with meet, greet Larry Emder, come to this brand new personal training centre in Wurrungery called Lean Mums, Trim Tums, Beer Belly Busters, etc. Have a complimentary personal training session. and a complimentary glass of wine. The people were queuing out the bloody door. It was fantastic. A lot of drunk people there.
Well, but I'll come to your house now.
I booked in a lot of clients. I had four trainers to get busy. I promised them that I was going to get them busy. Yeah, I took them on, took four trainers on straight away and got them busy quite quick. And within 2 years, we'd won Best in Queensland.
That's a pretty full-on rise to fitness fame, I guess, in such a short period of time. One of my favourite TV shows as a young man and probably every other Australian man that of the 80s or 90s was Aerobics on Style.
Yep.
Love that show.
Yep.
But they were... I know. Straight down the line, this is an exercise you're doing for every person that was watching. It wasn't tailored to...
No, individual needs. And that's what we specified in it. It was individual needs because, like I said to you earlier, the most important question to ask any client is, what do you want to achieve? Yeah. Most people will reply with, lose weight, turn, I'm a load of fucking crap. Now, come on, tell me, what do you really... Be like a Spice Girl. Tell me what you want, what you really want. And
did they want a ziggy zig?
Yeah, that's it. So then you give them what they want, and then you exceed their expectations, okay, in lots of different ways.
Which obviously helps you, because that helps them spread word of mouth other people, and it brings your clientele
of
back
course,
up.
And that's right. So the second most important question you have to ask a client is, when do you want to achieve this goal by?
Yeah.
Because that, it creates a deadline and a sense of urgency.
Did you smash them like during spring to get ready for their summer body?
Yeah, in a way. It depends what they wanted. Again, so if they wanted to enter a 10K on Gold Coast Marathon Day, you train them specifically for that. And that would help even more because very difficult to pull out of something like that once you've entered it and paid for it.
Yeah.
So that created the sense of urgency. They had to train. They committed.
The only reason I have never entered a fun run, because, well, one, there's nothing fun about it for me. And two, they always have the start line just near a pub. So I'd start on the start line and I'd just run straight to the pub.
Well, so, yeah, nah. Don't get bitter about it. Larger than life.
Okay, so apparently producer Mitch has put us back on track.
That's right.
Now we'll talk about your first gym, which apparently was a carport.
It was a carport. And what I actually did was I didn't because I'm crap at DIY. So I got a couple of friends to help me out and we bought some gyprock from Bunnings and boarded in the car park to make a room. A friend of mine actually gave me a sliding door. I can't even remember where he got it from now. And I got some carpet off the next door neighbour, who's a carpet guy, and he laid it down for us. And then I got some real basic equipment from Elite Fitness, where I was selling, who I was working for, in retail. And, mentioned a name there. Anyway, they don't exist anymore, so it doesn't matter.
And we're not talking bad about Elite Fitness.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. So I just got some real basic equipment in, a table and chairs, TV, with a VHS, if you remember what one of those is.
Oh, we had a beta.
There you go. And I used to find the video which the client had more interest in. So, for example, if it was rugby league, they'd have rugby league playing on. If it was boxing, it was boxing. If it was AFL, Whatever they preferred to have on in the background, they had on. Same with the music. So I'd find out what their favourite workout music was and play it for them. And it was all about them. And that's what this is about. It's personal training. So the training then, because we had a lot of emphasis on fun, they just they excelled because we had such a good time.
Yes. Now, I've noticed with a comfortable, funny you mentioned that when you're putting on background music and stuff. I've noticed, I'm a Arsenal supporter, as you mentioned before.
Sadly, yes.
Now, sadly at the moment. But when I've watched their games, you see the players getting off the team bus. They all get off with headphones on.
Yeah.
Now, for me personally, I believe when a player does that, they don't have their head in the game.
True.
But for fitness, I've noticed it is a motivator.
Yes.
So, and
well, it is.
How did the two become so very different?
Well, I'm not quite sure, but to answer the question on as a motivator, then yeah. I mean,
the greatest motivating song has to be Why the Tiger.
Yeah, sure. It probably is. Yeah.
Rocky.
Of course, and it does. It lifts you, you know. So when I train, I always have the Rumble in the Jungle on the video.
Nice.
With Muhammad Ali beating George Foreman. And do you know what's funny? I reckon it's a world record. I think I've seen it millions of times. I think it's a world record because I'm pretty certain about that because I watch it every single time I train. What's weird about that is I expect something different to happen. And he wins every time. Muhammad Ali wins every single time.
It's like watching the Titanic and actually getting it to his destination.
Exactly right, yeah. And it does work for other people. I trained a guy for years called Terry, and he rode motorbikes. And he watched every single session a short movie called On Any Sunday. And it has Steve McQueen in it.
Yeah. I've heard of that.
It's a bit of a, iconic movie. So, yeah. You know, it's a bit of a cult. So, yeah, and he didn't get bored of watching it. That's what he wanted. You know, made him train better. The music's the same thing. I had a boxing match last year, actually. I trained to Carmen Burana. And my fight name was The Force.
Oh,
so we had to have Can You Feel the Force?
Nice. So you didn't have anyone like Chewbacca sit there
going... No. I did have a lightsaber, though, when I walked into the ring.
Oh.
And I won. Absolutely. So anyway, this is... the number one reason for... anybody hiring a trainer is motivation, because people will buy what they lack. So like I said earlier, if you've got 6 rooms and 6 TVs, there's no lack there.
No.
If you don't lack motivation for training, you can train yourself, then you don't need a trainer.
Mate, if you're buying 6 TVs, you're lacking a bit of common sense.
Of course you are, that's right. But anyway, so that's the main reason is motivation.
Yeah.
And it's pretty obvious. All you do is fill that lack. So most trainers should really study motivation in detail. I did. I didn't go to a college to study. I just read loads of books on it and became fascinated with the psychology of it, because people's brains are an amazing thing and we don't come with a manual.
And everybody's different too. So yeah. There's so many different motivators for so many different people.
That's right.
Some people, again, want some of bodies. Some people just want to regain some past glory.
Absolutely, that's right.
You know, like a certain song, Bruce Springsteen, Glory Days.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah, that's right. And it is, because what people need is actually goals. So I'm really big on analogies. And let's say, I mean, obviously being English, I like football. That's played with a round ball and you use your feet, hence football.
Football, yes.
Yeah, thank you. Anyway... So at the end of the pitch in each half is a goal, right? And it's the same in AFL, same in rugby, all the rest of it. So the goal is a target. So without the goal, what would a game of football look like? Any of the footballs, what would it look like?
It would be just like farming of people, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
There's nothing.
Absolutely. And what are they achieving?
Nothing.
That's right. So what happens if you take away the deadline, which is the second most important question you ask a client? When do you want to achieve it by? So you take away the 90 minutes or the 80 minutes or whatever it is. So you've got no goals and no deadline. So in other words, they achieve what?
Nothing.
Forever. There's no time. Yeah. So they'll be running around with a ball, kicking it where? Anywhere?
Well. Yeah, isn't that how football started, though? It's between villages.
For sure, but they had to invent the goals. Now, if you relate that back to fitness, that's why you need the goals and you need the time frame, because the time frame creates a sense of urgency.
Yes.
And that's what I'm saying, the analogy of football or whatever sport you want to use. You can't hit a target you can't see. So I tell every single one of my clients to pull up the target, make sure you know where the fucking bullseye is, and aim to hit it. And if you can't hit it first time, you work hard in order to hit it. So then if the goal is too far away, for example, if the client wants to lose 20 kilos, or if they want to run 30K or 42K, whatever it is, and they haven't trained for it yet, so they have to start with 1 kilometer.
So does your business, do they do the 8-week challenges and the 12-week challenges kind of thing? And be goal orientated that way, or do you have a more of a long term way for a lifestyle?
The long term for lifestyle, because you train forever. I have no problem with 8 or 12 or 15 week challenges, that they all work for certain individuals. However, my only thing with that is you've got to keep doing it.
Yes.
You know, otherwise, well, what happens once you've achieved the goal? You know, they go back to their old habits. So what we're trying to create here is habits for life.
So it's not necessarily just training for the body. It's more training for the brain too.
Training for the brain, training, and that is incredibly important. The mental fitness to be able to do the physical fitness and keep doing it is the most important thing. If you're mentally shot, you can't do it. Simple as that.
Yeah. So basically, mind-body is one when it comes to health and fitness and lifestyle, where if you don't work on one, you can't have one without the other.
Exactly right. You're exactly right. Yeah, but you've got to be mentally strong and mentally able to deal with things. And I tell my clients, and one of the first questions I ask them in an initial consultation is, well, why have you failed in the past to achieve your goal? And they tell me whatever individual reasons they have. So then I put something in place to help them overcome that problem this time around. I also say to them, so what are you like under pressure? So that's a biggie. Anybody can have goals, right? It's good to have them. Obviously, you need them. But if you have a shit day at work, you have an argument with the boss, your teenage daughter gets up the duff, and then somebody runs over your cat, are they going to want to go down the gym and eat well and all the rest of it? What are they going to do?
Well, a lot of people like to wallow in their own self-pity.
That's right. And they'll probably go for their crutch. No, they won't go for the crutch. I don't mean that. They go for
the wine cask.
That's right. Exactly right. They go for the wine cask, the beer, the whiskey.
Yeah.
In worst case scenario, drugs or whatever it might be. Best case scenario, I suppose, a packet of Tim Tams or an ice cream, you know. So, you know, and that's not too bad. If they get back on the horse the next day, most people don't. They go, oh, my life's shit, da-da-da-da-da. Fuck the fitness thing, I can't be bothered. Until they get a scare or they see themselves in the mirror or whatever it might be, can't fit into the clothes, and then the pain of all of that makes them want to start all over again.
It's one of the things I've always tried to teach my children. Like, giving up's easy. Everyone can do it.
Yeah.
It's how you go forth.
Exactly. Yeah, you got to have a plan. And that's why a trainer has so many important roles. You know, and one of the roles is to keep the client on track if they fall off. There's nothing wrong with falling off. Everybody falls off of something. You just got to get back on. You're trying to sell something that people hate. So you've actually got to give them other reasons to want to come and see you, apart from just the fitness.
It always reminds me of Back to the Future 3, where the doc's sitting in the pub, and he's sitting with that whiskey, he hasn't drunk it, and he goes, and people run for fun?
Yeah. Well, that's right. But it's what you get from it, isn't it? You know, and you've got to identify and know what you're receiving. So we can't see what our heart looks like. That's the first thing. But we know we're making it stronger. The heart's a muscle. So you know you're making it stronger through exercise. You know you're making your lungs more efficient through exercise. And cardio is related to heart. Pulmonary is related to lungs. So cardiopulmonary fitness is incredibly important. This is why just doing one type of fitness, for example, just weight training, isn't going to benefit you fully. It's not going to. It'll just make you strong. That's fine. You need to be strong. But you need to do all different types of fitness, and fitness is a never-ending, infinitive subject, and it's the best subject in the whole wide world. Balance in your body, proportion, is incredibly important. And you're right, with the typical male gym goer who just wants to do bench press because he wants to have a huge chest and tell his friends how much weight he's lifted, you know. And that's okay, but as long as you balance that out with a good back exercise and your legs, of course, you know. So, yeah, it's all aspects of fitness are incredibly important. So agility as well, that's super important, especially when we get older, because you lose a kilo of muscle every 5 years if you don't work out, okay? That's a fact. That's a physiological fact.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
Is that just because of age?
Yeah.
Your muscles different?
Yeah, it is. It's called atrophy. So the opposite of atrophy is called hypertrophy. So that's a gain. So this is a loss. So if you lift weights or exercise, then you will keep that muscle. As simple as that. So if you look at older people, especially let's say people on average in their 80s, they look quite thin, don't they? Their posture's gone, and they can't hold the body upright. That's because their abdominal muscles aren't strong enough to keep them up.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's right. And also they're thinner just because they haven't done any resistance training. So if they'd done resistance training all their life, then they wouldn't look like that. Have you ever broken an arm or a leg?
I have spent many time in hospital with a broken bone.
Yeah. Right, okay. So what did the limb look like when you took the plaster off?
Well, I was actually run over years ago. And I was in a wheelchair for 9 months.
Right.
An electric wheelchair, because I broke both my arms.
Oh, wow.
And
there's no arm in there.
My right leg. You can actually...
Were you left out on a limb?
Just moving on quickly. And it took me 9 months to learn how to walk again.
Wow.
Because your body actually does forget how to walk.
Yeah.
And, I was hung up from a roof on a parachute harness and had to get on a walking machine. And you can see, I'm just pointing at it now, people who can't see the podcast.
Yeah.
My shin snapped and came out right there.
Oh, my God.
So, but when I came to walking again, I'd lost about a good 40%.
Wow.
Muscle weight.
Yeah.
Your legs were really, really thin. Well, this one was great because I was hopping around on it a lot.
Yeah, this one being the left one, he's pointing to.
Sorry, the left one, yeah. And my right one, you probably still, I don't know. I lost a lot of body muscle mass from my right leg.
So that is actually a fast version of the aging process. So if you break an arm or a leg, it just means that you don't lose the muscle because of the break. You lose the muscle because of inactivity.
Yes.
You can't move it.
Yeah.
You can't do anything with it. So it just wastes. So that's exactly the same, a rapid version of the aging process. Now, what happens when you start to move around again and walk on that leg? What happened?
Well, besides the ache and pain that you have to go through, you end up, growing muscle.
You grow muscle back again.
And blood flows.
That's right, exactly. And blood is full of nutrition. This is why nutrition is incredibly important. It's not just about being thin. This is not the thinness industry. It's the health and the fitness industry. So blood is full of water, minerals, all kinds of nutritional properties that go all around the body. And this is the problem with diets, because if you diet on any particular thing, it normally means a deprivation of a certain kind of food.
Yes.
So that means that you are actually starving the body of something. And this is what makes people sick. But some people don't care if they get sick, because some fancy diet with some doctor who endorses his name next to it says, oh, you will lose 10 kgs in 3 weeks, da-da-da-da-da. Well, sure, it'll make you bloody sick.
Yeah.
You know, well, that's clever, isn't it? Not.
Well, sometimes when you get the flu, you lose a couple of kilos.
Of course you do. Right. That's exactly right. Yeah.
It's fantastic. You know, I mean, cough on me. So anyway, John, I've been sitting here now for this our first podcast, and I've thought of a new segment that we can do together.
Fantastic.
And I'm going to call it Rapid Fire.
Awesome work.
I'm going to ask you five questions. Hang on. We're on a shoestring budget. How about we call it Rapid Fire?
Very good.
Thank you very much. So I'm going to ask you 5 questions, 10 seconds to answer. If you waffle, we're going to move on.
Yep.
Sweet.
Perfect.
Let's do it. Okay. What are your views? Number one, weight training.
Yep, really good if you do it in a functional way and lift heavier weights every single time you do it, because your muscles remember what you've lifted from the week before.
Bam, cool. Hey, we got a bell, thank you.
How about that?
Dieting.
Yeah, diet stands for die with a cross on the end. So if you want an early death and have go on a diet, your blood is full of nutrition. If you miss something out, then you're depriving the body.
There's our bell. Fasting.
Fasting, not a good idea. Even if you look at breakfast, you're breaking the fast by having some breakfast. So, no, not a good idea.
Okay. Well, hey, you beat the bell.
Hey.
Oh, there it is. What's that? Spot reducing.
Yeah, that means aiming at an area on your body like your stomach or your buttocks. No, you can't aim at an area to lose fat. You lose fat everywhere.
Just on the side note, every time it says buttocks, I can't think of it. Help but think of Forrest Gump. Like
Glutamus maxim arse.
Okay, hit me in the buttocks. Anyway, okay. Bodybuilding.
Bodybuilding, well, they're not really healthy or fit. So therefore, this is a health and fitness industry, and that's a big...
These are going to be subjects that we... That bloody bell. These are going to be subjects that we're going to touch on and explore more in future podcasts later on for everyone, for you to enjoy. It's been great talking to you today, John. Is there any other word you'd love to add before we sign off, John?
Be nice to your mum, and thank you very much.
Oh, hey, that's a copyright from Rove, but I'd just like to leave you on a note that you'd never know how far you can run until the cops are chasing you. Good night.
And good night.